I'm Kay Bess, and this is The Beehive. Women in voiceover, the voices of the fairer sex that keep the wheels of commerce and creativity moving in this country. Voices you hear every day, but names you likely don't know until now. Hello, everybody. My guest today in the Beehive is the incomparable Rebecca Reedy. Welcome to the Beehive, Becky. May I call you Becky?
Oh, that was a visual. This is voiceover. Okay, sorry.
You know Rebecca. Rebecca's career, oh my gosh. She's done a slew of memorable characters for video games. She has done live announce multiple times for the Emmys, twice for the Grammys, once for the ESPYs. And probably the most ubiquitous that you have been would be your performances on Jimmy Kimmel Live, where you get to do these fantastic little comedic bits. So here we are. We're going to talk about Becky's career today and her life and what she's done in voiceover and how she got here. So what I want to know is how you started.
I came to Los Angeles after graduating from Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, with a degree in acting. While I was in college, I had responded to an ad on the green room wall of SMU asking for voiceover actors. And I ended up getting a job at the IT network. You know, in the early days of the internet where people were trying to figure out what it was, and there were all kinds of alt versions, and several of them were totally not useful. The IT network. And it was a blanket umbrella phone number that you would call. Okay. 1-800-8000, something like that. And then you would plug in the front of the yellow pages were this, like this guide that gave you all kinds of four-digit codes. You know, 1-800-481-6262 would get you to information about podiatry. Podiatry is the study of feet and blah, blah, blah. And the feet, and your feet could have calluses.
And that's all the stuff that you read?
Yeah. And at the very end of that little thing was, and to be connected to Joe Bob Podiatry that sponsored this message, please press 1. That was all the stuff we were reading for the IT network. So when I then moved to Los Angeles in 94, in my mind, I had voiceover experience. Yes, headshot, resume, and voiceover reel, of course, because I am a voiceover actor. So, yeah. So
well, this, you know, it takes...
Synapse firing,
sure,
right? Somebody, because I think a lot of people, when they, you know, get off the boat from Timbuktu to Los Angeles to pursue their dream of acting, they know they have to do a headshot. They know they have to do a resume, but it doesn't occur to many people to do their voiceover reel.
Not then.
Now. 94.
It does more now.
More now.
More
yes.
now. Not.
But
you know.
94, it was not a common thing, but it just, the synapse fired because of that stupid experience I had had.
Yeah.
With the IT network.
Yeah.
So it occurred to me, and I got started really because of Carol Kimball. I did my
Carol Day Kimball,
casting
director in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Not only sweet woman, she's a fabulous woman and a great casting director.
Yeah. Correct. And she, back in 94, she did my eye contact, and I cannot for the life of me remember how I got to her, but she did demos at the time. I don't know if she does anymore, but
I think she does. I think
she
still does, yeah.
And she, you know, you work with her several times.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you produce that demo. And at the end of producing the demo, she said, you know, you're good. You should work. And she got on the phone for me to SPV.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, got me represented. And that was the first, I mean, I didn't have an on-camera agent at that point. I didn't have anything at that point. So that was the first. That was me started, thanks to Carol Day Kimball.
That actually answers a question that I had for you later, so.
See how I am cutting corners.
See, I know. You're
shortening
skipping ahead.
I know.
So you came from Southern Methodist University, which is in Texas?
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. Out to LA in 94.
Yeah.
You somehow got connected to Carol Day Campbell, made a demo.
Yeah.
And got a call, and Sutton Barth and Venari took you on, which doesn't happen a lot. I mean, that's a rare story that you've told. It's rare.
It is. Yeah. But it takes somebody sticking their neck out for you, right?
Yes. Right? But generally speaking, people don't stick their necks out for those that they don't have faith in.
Well, that's true. Yes,
so
that is true.
Don't
too.
Be cutting yourself short there,
Missy.
No. Yeah. What would you say? I mean, you do a lot of work. You work in commercials and you work in promo and you've done video games and you've done live announce, which is that's a whole nother beast. That's a crazy beast. What would you say is the best voiceover experience that you have had? Like what a particular job and whatever it was, what made it so?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, there are so many different parameters that go into the best job ever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you know the paycheck that's coming at the end of it.
Sure.
And I hate to say that, but that's a true story. And then sometimes, I mean, sometimes it's the thrill of being hired to do a character in a video game where you're a Middle Eastern cat.
Like, right. Yeah.
Really? I was the best Middle Eastern cat of all the Middle Eastern cats you got on that submission?
Yeah, right.
Right? That rocks. Who knew I was Middle Eastern cat?
Yeah.
There I am,
yeah.
Middle Eastern cat in a video game. Or there are so many examples really kind of just like that. Just like, how is it that I booked that job? I'm so thrilled that I got to be something so weird.
Yeah.
So they're thrilling for different reasons. I take all comers on that one. And in the live announce stuff, I fell into that one. That one was a crazy lightning strike. And so I think it most commonly is. It's a lightning strike.
I think that's true. I mean, we don't necessarily set out to go, I want to go put myself in a really stressful situation.
Right, exactly.
4 hours.
And God love
them. Pray to God I don't trip over my words.
Who knew they wouldn't be, they didn't know that I wasn't going to be curled up in the corner sucking my thumb and twirling my hair and banging my head against the wall after the first rehearsal, because they have no way of knowing that. I've never done live announce. How do they know I'm not like freaked out by that microphone? But it turns out it's pretty exhilarating to hit that go button and you're live to 30 million people.
I think if you actually saw the people, you'd freak, but because you're in this little enclosed thing and it's really
closet.
Just you and you don't know. I mean,
I know.
Maybe it's all a big lie. And, you know,
God love them. It's a faith that I'm just going to stick to that script.
I know. What a powerful position.
Right? Right?
So true. I never thought of it that way. God, thank God I never thought of it that way.
The power in that moment. Holy cow. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell me what then is the, have you ever had just like a hideous experience where you think, I have to get out of this room right now, away from these people, or, just a terrible experience?
With voiceover, with live announce?
Which is voiceover. I mean, if it happened to you in live announce, okay. But just any sort of a circumstance.
I think those are, I've never had a big overarching moment of, holy, get me out of here, right?
Yeah.
I've had micro moments of it. And I got to tell you, the bigger the job, the less this is a factor, right? It tends to be the regional radio spot. Where you've got one line.
That's a 2 hour session.
Right. And there are 40 people in the room directing you on the one line. And they've all got to put in their opinion. And I get it. It's all good. I get that this is their one commercial they're producing for the next year. And it's important to them. And it's all good.
But
3 hours later, when you have literally parsed the word the 40 times over until you want to go crazy, those are the jobs that make me want to scream for the gods to just take me now.
There is a reason that Orson Welles' diatribe is so popular.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, because he got to say what oftentimes I think we have wanted to say, but we don't have the clout.
Correct.
You know, they're fine to fire us, but you can't you can't fire Orson Welles, but you can let us go.
Right. Exactly.
So we'll say and do whatever you want.
Right. Right, right, right.
And smile.
You know, and just smile.
Yeah, for as many decades as you and I have both been doing this.
Correct.
One hand. right? That I can count.
One hand.
Where I was like, wow, maybe I should hang it up because I can't take this. You know.
I know.
Yeah. So that's miraculous when you consider hundreds of jobs of commercials.
It is. And like I said, when I go, even going back literally as far back as 1995, when I remember one of the first jobs I booked was for a radio spot for some local restaurant chain, won't be named. And it was the job that made me think, what is my acting degree even worth? I don't even know who I am anymore. I can't speak English, clearly, and I clearly can't form sentences.
Yeah.
It was that type of a job.
Yeah.
That is what it is.
Ah, well. And we live to tell and move on to other jobs.
And then you do something for like the biggest thing you can think of, and they're just like, what do you got? And I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And they go, done, sold, print it.
Yeah.
I can do it better. They're like, I don't care. Yeah, they're out the door.
We got what we need.
Yeah, we got what we need. They're out the door. And okay, I guess that was that.
I had a job, which shall go unnamed, but I worked on this for a couple of years, and I did spots for a particular channel. And this producer, he would, oh my gosh, I did so many takes, take after take after take. And I want to say maybe 2 years into this job, he said to me, you know, I realized, Kay, that generally every time I go and I pick out the takes, you know, it's usually the first or second take. And I smiled, you know, like, I want to say, it's taken you this long, you know,
I know,
to figure that out. I mean, I could have told you that. There's nothing, you know, I it's hilarious though. But
yeah,
but there, sometimes people, they just, you know, they have to cover their bases.
I honestly think what happens is you give a read and there's an idea behind the read.
Yeah.
And when you give that read, it suddenly gives them that idea was in the read.
Yeah.
And then they suddenly go, well, what if you did it like that? And they give that same idea that was just in that read, but they haven't figured out that the reason they had the idea in the first place is because it was in the read. Right?
Oh, that happened a million times on this job. And I would try, you know, you try to I'm going to be really efficient and I'm going to get out of here quicker. I know how this producer works. So I'm going to give them what I know they want right off the bat.
Right, right.
And then you do that thing and then they come back and just as you say, they say, could you do it like this? And they give you a line reading, which is exactly what you just did.
Exactly.
And you go, sure. Not that we're disrespecting producers.
No.
We all have different gifts.
Right,
Rebecca.
Right.
So tell me, was there ever a time in your voiceover career where you weren't quite making a living solely in voiceover and you had odd jobs or were you like a waiter or bartender or go-go dancer, knowing you?
Knowing me? Please, my girls aren't nearly big enough. My swish isn't nearly swishy enough. None of that. Please, if I'm going to make a living, it's
but
not going to be the
charmer. But you're such a charmer.
Well, I don't think they come there to
all
laugh.
All the boys love you.
I don't think they come there to giggle. But if they did, then I would have made big tips as a go-go dancer. I could do a full HBO series on the crazy crap I've done.
Really? Oh, yeah. Tell me a couple.
Good stuff. Well, of course, waiting tables. But the one where I was working at the LA County Fair, you know, was one of those girls in the Buick tent.
See? That is akin to go-go dancing.
Totally.
You were a Buick girl.
I was a Buick girl.
At the county fair.
And at first, it started out with, you know, you don't have to know about the cars. You're just there to go, here, like a little showgirl. Like, here are the cars.
I think it was a good call on my part, the go-go dancer. I think that was...
Right, that was perfect. I was far happier with that. But then when they suddenly go, oh, yeah, no, they want you to actually know about the torque and like the, you know... I suddenly going, oh, I'm sorry, that required studying. Sorry, are you wanting me to study for my side job? Because now we're going to have an issue. Right? There will be no studying and memorizing of obscure facts about Buicks, of which I care not.
So, you worked at the county fair.
Not that I don't care about Buicks. If Buick wants to hire me, I would love to voice their commercials.
We're offending everyone now. Producers.
Nobody should hire me.
And advertising people and
Crap.
Really big image right. spot campaign.
No, I love Buick. Buicks are all good. I just didn't know anything about them at the time. Like, give me the script. I'm good with the script. This is why people hire me to write read a script. Nobody hires me to write it.
Dude. Who knew that doing this podcast would end your career?
Oh, there were those. Who
so
knew?
So give me one more.
Of course I'm drawing a blank, but that's how it goes.
Have some more wine.
Ah, see, I don't have any more wine.
I'm so sorry.
I know, right?
Finished off her second bottle. It's really sad to see Becky. Oh, it's...
Hey, Drunk History was a big success. We're trying something new. Come on.
All right.
Work with
so
me.
You're not going to give me a second odd job. So, oh, I think I know the answer to this one.
Ooh,
this
I love
is,
it.
This is the question that you answered already. So if you had to name one person who gave you a leg up in your career, and I'm thinking that that would be Carol Day Kimball.
Okay. Well, I have others.
Okay. Give me
you
one
know how, Okay. You know how they talk about this idea that you can isolate four moments in your life that are pivotal moments, right? And you could do it in any aspect of your life. Well, in my career, Carol Day Kimball was definitely one of them. But after that 3-year stint at Sutton Barth and Vinari, I had just gotten married in 98, like in October of 98. And I got dropped by SPV like January 1st.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
And I spent the next 8 months trying to get arrested. And honestly, the person that picked me back up and stuck their neck out for me a second time was Nancy Wolfson. And she was just getting started as a coach. She had been an agent with Abrams Rubeloff, right? Mm-hmm. And she was starting her coaching career. She did not have anything like the curriculum in place that she has now, right? She wasn't the machine she is.
Yeah.
But she was still Nancy, who is just a one-woman force of nature.
That's true.
And she did. I hired her to retool my demo so that I could get some attention. And she got on the phone at that point with Kelly Garner, who at the time was the head of the voiceover department at Abrams Artists. And picked me back up, really, and got me back. But it was an 8-month episode of, am I ever going to work again? And at that point, I had been in there. I had been with an on-camera agent. And that on-camera agent, I had gotten close to a number of things. But then suddenly that on-camera agent switched to become a manager for his top, like, 4 clients, right?
Yeah.
And so he closed down the agency. And in closing down the agency, who had been represented and gotten really close to like The Bold and the Beautiful and some film roles and a role on Neve Campbell, what was her series? Party 5.
Yeah.
A role on Party 5 and these other things. There was a slew of things. I was really close to me and one other girl. You know what I mean? Constantly, me and one other girl. But at the end of it, I didn't have anything on my resume. I had nothing. So getting another on-camera agent at that point was prohibitive. I mean, it felt Sisyphusian, you know?
Sisyphusian.
Just endlessly rolling that boulder up the hill with no result.
This is why if you can establish a relationship with an agent who believes in you and you stay and you stick with it, all those almosts, they turn into you got it.
So so that had already happened, and then all of a sudden SPV dropped me, and man, that 8 months was a low point. That was tough.
These episodes in the wilderness, they have the power to undo you.
They do.
But they didn't undo you.
They teach you who you are.
They teach you who you are.
They do.
And they teach you what you want, what you really want, and whether or not it's worth it to you.
Right. And I can honestly say, because of my time in the woods, as you call it, in the wilderness, right?
Yeah.
I'm not easily unglued by not getting cast in something or getting past it or like whatever. You know, I get that. I'm not easily undone by that.
It's a piece of what I think the voice actors who have longevity, that's they understand.
Yeah.
It's just and it's a common through line. You have to be willing to let all the rejection, because it's mostly rejection, just roll right off you and you just keep marching.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's very true.
Yeah.
It makes you resilient.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Resilient. And it really, really did. It showed me what I wanted, what was important, and who I was.
Yeah, I love that Nancy Wolfson.
She's a good egg, that one.
She is. And she's hilarious and
and razor sharp.
Razor. Like
razor sharp.
As I said in another podcast, that she does not suffer fools.
No.
And I love this about her. She's very, very quick-witted. And there's sometimes, I'm like, we've gone to dinner a couple times right. And I'm sort of sitting and she's talking and she's, you know, and I'll be like, I'm lost.
Right? Right?
Like, she just went so far over my head that, and I can't admit it now.
Right.
Because
right.
I look like I've been understanding. And so I'm just nodding my head.
But
that is like, you know, and I'm fairly quick-witted myself.
Right.
But she's heads and tails. Like she can, her brain just moves so fast. It's amazing.
She's so remarkably articulate. It
yes.
blows my mind.
Yeah.
The degree to which she can speak uninterrupted and without an or an ah or an anything and be intelligent, intelligible, articulate,
yeah.
flowing,
yeah.
moving forward
yeah.
in her ideas
yeah.
is jaw-dropping to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're going to hang,
shore up your grammar. That's my
yeah.
only piece of advice.
Shore up your grammar and your syntax.
Maybe
by
spend
God.
A moment on yeah. the website Grammarly and just bone up.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, God, Nancy. We love you, Kissy. What would you say? It's I'm guessing. Here I am. Listen, I'm trying to look into the future of what you're going to say. I'm guessing what you'll say, Rebecca. What would you say is the most important lesson that a career in voiceover, in the arts, in general, being an actor, being in this particular crazy business of, you know, it's a big umbrella, right? And we're in the little voiceover sliver. But what lesson do you think has been the most important to you? Not necessarily with regards to a career, could be, but just to your life, to your person.
Oh, well, those are two different things.
Yes, yes,
right?
They are.
They're very different. I mean,
yeah.
within voiceover, I would say it's be of service and know the industry to which you're of service.
So translate that for me. What does
sure.
being of service mean to you in voiceover?
It means understand the needs of a commercial producer being different than the needs of a promo producer. They're different. They're different industries with different timetables and different protocols and norms. Mm-hmm. And all of those things, in order to be of service mm-hmm. to a promo producer, you need to be available.
All the
quickly,
time.
Quickly. All the time.
Yeah.
Quickly. Right?
Yeah.
You need to spit that stuff out. Don't waste their time. No small talk. Let's do this. Let's be cordial, lovely,
yeah.
hilarious,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
But quickly hilarious. These people don't have time. And that's the timetable of promo, which is different than the timetable of video games.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And video games, to be of service to video games, really means getting on top of your social media to some degree.
Yeah.
Those people need you / want you to be active in social media so that you can help propel sales at the end once
yes.
it releases, right? It's helpful to them.
Yes.
And to be on top of your accents and to be versatile for video games. That's really critical for them. That is to be of service to that industry because that's what they need.
Right.
And to not question, this is a whole other thing, but to slide along with, so in 1 minute, you're clearly saucy bar wench. And then in the next minute, you're quite clearly a nun of some sort. Let's just roll with that. Whatever they need. Let's
yeah.
just keep
yeah.
going, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you do have to be malleable, pliable.
Right?
Yeah.
Pliable for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
as an actor.
Yeah. As an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And in Live Announce, you need to know that you are mostly, when you're there, your crew, you can be a little, right after that show has done, and it's been on air and everything's wrapped and we're all in the afterglow and you've
yeah.
freshly been all over their show. You get a little bit of afterglow of talent status,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But up till
that's
then.
That's not what your badge says.
No, your badge doesn't say it.
No.
You better not dress like you think you are it because you aren't. You are crew up until that moment and be in your seat, do your job, know your thing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's how you be
yeah.
of service to that industry,
yeah.
right?
I'm having flashbacks of my live announcements for the Critics' Choice Awards that I look back and I listen to what you're saying.
Right.
And I'm like, I think I should have consulted Becky before I did that job because I did all kinds of things that were like, oh my God, I feel like a celebrity. I mean, I like bought a dress.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I'm sitting in the phone closet. Like, you know,
right.
And during rehearsal, I'm sitting, you know, you're sitting alone.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there for a really long time. And it was quiet and it's just the rehearsal. And finally I was like, okay, nobody's talking to me. And I hearing anything on my headset. And I just kind of got up and I peeked my, you know, I walked out and I go, somebody walked by and I go, can you tell me what's going on? And they're like, oh, everybody's at lunch. I'm like, oh, nobody told me. I'm sorry. No. So yeah, there's no celebrity status. Yeah. For a voice actor.
No, there is no glitz and glamour. You're basically picking up, you know, the equivalent of like Dungeon.
Nice and it's dress on. And like after the show, I just like walk to my car.
Right. In their fabulous gown. Yeah. I know. I can't tell
so
you how many
stupid.
Times. I bring the gown, but I put it in the like room and I wait to wheel it out only if I'm feeling it.
The producer goes, hey, come on over.
Right, exactly. If I'm feeling, yeah, exactly.
If you get that last minute invitation to the producer's ball or whatever.
But I'm ready to shove the whole gown in my purse if I have to. And yeah. Pretend it never happened.
You bring a really big bag.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, totally.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to interrupt you, but I just was like.
No, but it's true. I can't even remember where we were. But yeah, that's exactly the way that goes down. But that's it. Like being,
you know,
like,
it was being of service, like you were saying.
It's service. And it's knowing the various industries in which you're working and understanding that they are their own industry of which you are a tiny little cog out there in what equates to like voiceover Siberia.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you just have to know how to be of service to them so that they can move on with their world. They get out of you what they need and move on with their world.
Yeah. So you're a mom.
I am.
You have two kids.
Yes, I do.
And how have you mixed being a voice actor and a mom?
Well, my kids are a little older, thank God. So at 14 and 11, they are very clear on the idea that when I'm recording, heads will roll if there's noise. And I do let them know. Like I'll say, you know, hey, I'm going into a session. Right? And every once in a while, there will be a soft little, just a little exploratory knock on my thing. And I've got, you know, producers in my ear. And I'm opening the door with like a Medusa glare. And I'm like.
With a silence.
It's mouthing. Total silence, but it's. Right? And they know when they
see. I just want you all to know that Rebecca looks really angry right now and that. That's what her children are seeing, and I'm sure that they, after seeing that face, that they run.
Mostly not, they're not afraid of me. They're afraid of being heard by strangers. No, they're stranger shy in that moment.
I see, right?
Yeah, yeah. Both of my children have done voiceovers.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
So it's a funny thing that my older one has done one voiceover, a promo for NBC. For the Olympics.
I'm still waiting on that job.
Right. And I had coached him on the audition. And let's face it, I basically gave him line readings, which, you know, based on what I thought they would want and what I heard.
It's clear
and he
that
booked
you knew
it,
what they
right?
wanted. Yeah.
And I had coached him in advance on, you know, you're going to go in with what you did because that's what you do, but be prepared to change it up. So I give him, you know, the basic lowdown. And he goes in. And of course, they are in fact redirecting him.
Okay.
Right. And I'm in the room, but I'm trying not to be that girl. So I'm shutting up.
Don't be that mom.
Don't be that mom. So I've got my mouth shut. And I'm dying because I can hear them redirecting him. And I can hear him giving the exact same read. And then they redirect it. Well, can you do it a little more like this? And he gives the exact same read. And I'm wanting desperately because I can hear exactly what they're redirecting him to do. Yeah. And I could tell him, I could beat him into submission, but they clearly don't know how to, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of it, when they finally signed off and they hang up, he about collapsed. He's sweating head to toe.
Oh, poor thing.
He's like, oh my God, that was the worst thing ever. How do you do that? Oh my God. This is not for you, kid.
Not for you.
Not for you.
Yeah. And your other son, has he done stuff too?
He has. He's actually, so the other one, by stark contrast, has booked a number of things actually, because he actually really likes it. And the first thing.
Did he do a video game?
He did a video game. He did Fallout 4.
Wow.
I know.
That is great.
And for a little 11-year-old stinker to do Fallout 4, he's still grinning from ear to ear over that one.
Money goes right into savings, sweetheart.
Well, and he spent 4 hours in a studio up here in Los Angeles like a boss. He thrived in that environment. And I wasn't in the room at all. So I was like, yeah.
That's great.
Right.
My daughter booked a TV spot for Samsung. She had one line.
Nice.
I don't know, she was 8. Mm-hmm. She had one line, and her line was, "Hi, Daddy." That was all, right? So I could direct her on that. You know, that was for her audition, right? So she books it. And it was a national network and actually international Samsung TV spot.
Oh, man.
Right? So she was supposed to work it the following Monday. And they called that Monday and said, you know what, we've cut the part. But she still got a session fee.
Right.
So a few weeks later when she got the check, and, you know, I told her, I said, you know what, sweetheart, you're going to get paid. And it's the union rate is like $450 or something like that. So she gets her check in the mail and it's like $260, right? And she was so mad, you know? She's like, what happened to the rest of my money? And I said, well, sweetheart, let me tell you about taxes.
Right.
So she's like, what is that? And I said, well, taxes go to pay for all kinds of things that, you know, infrastructure, fixing the roads, you know, blah, 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 this stuff. And we're driving one day and we're driving on some street in Los Angeles with potholes all over it, right? And she, you know, 8 years old, she's like, they need to fix these roads. What are they doing with my tax dollars? I just was like.
And a conservative was born.
Oh my God. It was like so a little Alex Keaton, right?
Right, you know? Exactly.
Just so funny.
That's fantastic.
I know. It's crazy. So we're coming to the end, and I'm going to give you the questionnaire from the Actors Studio.
Ah, here we go.
Lipton, right? Good times.
I love it.
And, I knew
strap
that.
Strap in, people.
Yeah, strap
God
in.
God knows what's coming out of my mouth.
I know. And you never thought that you would ever be given the opportunity to answer these questions, right? As a voice actor?
I mean, never. I have had moments in the shower where I dreamt about it, right?
Yeah, you've dreamed.
But I can't remember the questions now, so I can't remember what my answers were.
And you dreamed because you were like, one day I'm going to win an Oscar.
Right.
And I'm going to be on that show. Yeah. But instead, you're on my podcast.
Totally.
Okay.
Better than the Oscar.
Please, that's going a little far. Don't lie. Okay. Okay, what is your favorite word?
Laughter.
What is your least favorite word?
Bills.
What turns you on?
My husband.
Right?
So great. I love him. He's a good egg. What are you going to do? He makes me laugh. He makes me happy. It is what it is.
What turns you off?
Negative people.
What sound or noise do you love?
Cat purring. You know what it is? Well, sound or love. I also could, you know, I love my children saying, I love you, mommy. There's that. Yeah. But that's a mommy thing.
Yeah, sure.
Right? That's a mommy
thing. Yeah. What sound or noise do you hate?
Car honking. Sure.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Writing.
What profession would you not like to do?
Tax attorney.
You answer these questions like you're on a game show. Sorry, I'm not supposed to have any commentary about what your answers are. There's no judgment here. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Let me think. What would I want God to say?
To say to you.
To me. Damn, you crack me up.
Rebecca Reedy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Before we go.
Yeah.
Go girl.
Go girl.
Tell everyone where they can find you if they want to know about your work.
Where can you find me? You can find me on Facebook at Rebecca Reedy VoiceOver. You can find me on RebeccaReedy.com.
Your website. What about Twitter?
Sure. At Rebecca Reedy. But boy, you're going to wait a while for me to tweet anything.
Yeah. Well, not really, because you're going to be booking more games and then you're going to be upping your social media game.
And you can find me non-voiceover related or even sometimes voiceover related at SerialCreativist.com.
Serial?
Yeah, serial, not like the food, but like the ongoing. Right, like the axe murder. That's it. That's exactly it. Yes.
The ongoing.
Not like the food, but the murderer. Creativist.com.
Serialcreativist.com.
Correct.
Which is you, so you've got some writing there. And
I've got some writing. I've got some idea stuff, and it's just basically my brain lint.
Come. That's great.
Check it out.
Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I love you to death.
Mwah. Be back. Mwah.
Thanks for joining me today in the Beehive. For podcast notes, pictures, and more information on my guests, visit the podcast website, thebeehivepodcast.com. Find me at my website, kbess.com. Follow me on Twitter at kbess and subscribe to my channel on YouTube. If you've a mind to, please post a review of the podcast on iTunes. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and good for the bones. Come back for more Women in Voiceover next time in the Beehive.